Hi, my name is Carla Sabota. I'm a technical writer on the SQL Server Integration Services team. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about what's new in Integration Services 2008. There are a lot of small bug fixes and small improvements in this release. I'm going to focus mostly on the large features and functionality that we added. Before getting started, I wanted to let you know that we still support SQL Server 2000 data transformation services. In 2008, there is an optional 32-bit management, runtime, and design time support for DTS packages that were created by using the DTS tools and object model. Now, I'll start with enhancements to components in 2008. One of the first features we added was support for C# scripting in a new scripting environment called Visual Studio Tools for Applications. VSTA replaces the Visual Studio for Applications that we used as a scripting environment in 2005. With VSTA, you have a seamless conversion of 2005 scripts to 2008 scripts. C# scripts are supported in the script task and the script component. In addition to supporting C# as well as VB.NET, VSTA gives you a really full Visual Studio Designer experience. It lets you reference external assemblies stored anywhere on your computer, and you can add a reference to a web service and make a call from a script. Another major improvement was pipeline scale-up. Pipeline refers to the package data flow. We changed the way our task thread scheduler worked and improved it to make use of the system's full resources. Basically, we're now able to optimize long chains of synchronous transforms. Well, in 2005, it was a recommended performance enhancement to add a union all transformation to split up your execution trees. This optimization is no longer needed in 2008. Transformations that split the data flow, like multicast, get the biggest benefit from this pipeline scale-up. New in 2008 is an ADO.NET destination. The new destination component has a custom UI with a drop-down list for tables and views. You can use expressions to dynamically update the table or view you're going to be pushing data to, as well as update the batch size property. There's also an ADO.NET source component. In 2005, ADO.NET support was through the Data Reader source component. Like the source, the destination gives you ODBC support, which opens up a lot more providers as possible destinations. Another major component improvement is enhanced performance and caching for the lookup transformation. The main change is that you now have explicit control over your lookup cache by using the new Cache Connection Manager. This new Cache Connection Manager allows you to populate your cache in another data flow from any source that integration services can connect to. You're no longer limited to an OLE DB source. This cache is always stored in memory and can also be persisted to a file. The cache stored in memory can be shared between lookup transformations within the same data flow and between lookup transformations in different data flows. Sharing the cache between lookups reduces memory usage. When you persist the cache to a file, the system loads the cache faster. With persisted cache, you can share the cache between multiple package executions, and you can use the data on different computers if you deploy the cache file with the package. Some other ideas for the persisted cache are caching aggregates and other calculations. This is a good way to speed up lengthy calculations. Because the cache file uses the same format as the raw file, you can read from the cache file using a raw file source. Keep in mind that when you use a cache file, you are working with data that is not as current as the data in the database. Another nice feature of the enhanced lookup transformation is that we now have a cache for rows that had no match in the database when you run the transformation in partial cache mode. This is useful in a lot of situations as it prevents the transformation from querying the database multiple times for values that don't exist. However, there are cases where you don't want to remember the no-match rows. For example, if your data flow is adding new rows to your reference table. And for rows that had no match in the database, you now have the option to redirect those rows using a no-match output rather than an error output. Next up is the new data profiling task. This task profiles data that is stored in SQL Server using an ADO.NET connection. It provides various profiles that help you identify potential problems with data quality within individual columns and with column relationships. You can write the output to a file or to a variable if you want to keep it in memory and analyze it with a script task. Some of the profiles that help identify problems with individual columns include the percentage of null values, the distributions of lengths in the column values, and regular expressions that match string columns. To help users who are new to integration services, we added a new Integration Services Connections Project Wizard. The wizard helps you connect to sources by guiding you through the steps of selecting data providers, configuring connection managers, and assigning connection managers to sources and destinations. When you complete the wizard, it creates a new integration services project in BI Development Studio that contains a single package with the components that you selected. Before you can run the package, you need to add any required transformations, and you need to connect and configure the transformation sources and destinations in the data flow. Next, I'll cover enhancements to Data Management and Integration Services 2008. The data type conversion in the SQL Server Import and Export Wizard is much smarter in 2008. We insert data conversion transformations in the data flow to do the conversions for you. We also pop up a data mapping page that lets you change the mappings between source and destination columns or change the metadata of destination columns. You can do this for each table or view that you're importing or exporting. We make smart suggestions about data type conversions and visually indicate the probability that the conversions will succeed without error. You can also specify the handling of errors and truncations on a global or a column-by-column basis. The wizard uses the mapping files that Integration Services provides to map data types from one database version or system to another. If your business requires different mappings between data types, you can edit these files. You can also add new configuration files to support new data sources that the wizard doesn't support out of the box. We also improve the scalability of the wizard. When you're doing a large number of table transfers, we'll split it up into multiple data flow tasks in series. There are new date and time data types in Integration Services. These are DTDBTime2, DTDBTimestamp2, and DTDBTimestampOffset. These types support user-defined precision, a large scale for fractional seconds, and a time zone offset. The data types map to the new SQL Server data types, which are time data type, date time 2 data type, and date time offset data type. Another improvement in the area of data management is the new merge SQL statement that lets you join a data source with a target table or view. Then you can perform insert, update, or delete operations against the target based on the results of that join. This is great in a lot of data warehousing situations where you're handling type 1 and type 2 slowly changing dimensions. For an example of how to create a powerful and fast component for performing merge operations against SQL Server, see the merge destination sample on the www.coplex.com site. Now I'm going to talk about performance and troubleshooting enhancements. The new Change Data Capture technology, a database engine feature, allows you to efficiently perform incremental loads from source tables to data marts and the data warehouse. This technology tracks all the changes going into the tables that you're monitoring so that you can query them as a table set and then easily read those to do your incremental updates. Because enhanced supportability was one of our themes for 2008, we now enable you to create debug dump files for your package. These files provide information about what is happening in the package execution at the time information is dumped to the files. You can create the files when any error occurs, or when a specific error occurs, and you can create them at will using the DTUtil command prompt utility. The utility pauses either the DTExec utility process or DTS debug host process, creates the debug dump files, and then resumes the process. The debug dump files include a memory dump file and a readable text file. Taking a look at the text file, you can find out basic environment information such as what operating system the package is running on, how much memory is available, what version of the product is being used, the processor type, and whether you're running in 32-bit or 64-bit mode. You can also find out which DLLs the system loads during the processing of a package, the package properties, and the variables. Because variables can contain sensitive information, you can control whether or not variables are included in the debug dump files. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope you found it valuable and will return to the website to listen to other podcasts.